Yes, let me hit it. Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. Today is a special episode. We wanted to discuss crazy fans. Maybe not crazy, sane fans, but fans. Can we even call them that? Yelling at Willie Taggart after a home win, a dominating home win. We'll discuss it as only we can. Sam, you ready?
Let's get it.
Let's get it. All right, so for those of y'all who don't know, there were some words said to Willie Taggart as he was walking out of the stadium. I believe what the fan said was, F you, Willie. Two of his players snapped back and basically said, no, F you, to the fan. Security proceeded to look for the guy. They asked who pointed out. We don't know what the results of that were or what's come out. I'm assuming we'll get some sort of statement from somebody in charge because I do think that's unacceptable. But it's, I guess my question is, what do you make of the situation, man?
Okay. I think in any fan base, right, anytime there's a new hire, any hire, a segment of the fan, they're going to hate that hire. Right, they all gonna think we could have did better. We could have got more. You know, I see. It's a Georgia fan out there that's, since Kirby's been hired at Georgia, has been complaining about Kirby since he got there, which is crazy, right? Because Kirby's been to a Rose Bowl, you know, Kirby's been to a Sugar Bowl. He played a national championship game. He's bringing in top 2, top 3 recruiting classes, and it's a fan that's on Twitter that's, can't call him a snake in the grass, an oil salesman, just. Every time they say anything good about Kirby, he got something bad to say about Kirby. You know what I'm saying? Which those fans exist, right? Those fans exist, right? Any fan, they're convinced.
Right.
After last week, well, you know what, man, before last week, okay, this was last year, right? So after the Virginia Tech game, people started digging in their heels, right? People started digging in saying, this is a terrible hire. We hired the wrong guy. This and that. Okay. The way I see this is this here. It's in Florida State's best interest that Willie Taggart succeeds. And it has nothing to do with him being black. Okay? Nothing to do with him being black. There are financial reasons and financial implications on why FSU needs Willie Taggart to be successful. Right? So, why is a fan yelling that, screaming that on a day where we got big time recruiting going on, right? We brought in a lot of recruits to this game. And you're screaming that at the players and at the coach.
Right.
Like, and it's not like it wasn't a convincing win. It was a convincing win over a team that blew you out last year. That's craziness. And so, I feel like on this podcast, we have room to kind of discuss whatever we want to discuss, right? I mean, worst case scenario, we lose our 5 followers that we got. You know what I'm saying? Then we just talk it to the air, which is fine. You know what I'm saying? It's a hobby.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with these conversations.
We're fine with that, right? We don't get paid to do this. We both have jobs and families and stuff, so it's okay. So I just wanted to read something that somebody sent me on Twitter because I put on here. I want to read this. I put it here. It makes you wonder, after a win, why are you still mad? It can't just be about football now. Because even after a coach wins, you shouldn't be screaming at. Now, you can scream it after a loss. I don't think it's okay then.
Well, look, man, here's the thing. If you had told me that this dude, with that whoever this guy was yelling after the ULM game, I'd have been like, I get it.
Right.
I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I don't recommend it, and I don't think it's great. But I get it, because you know what? That was a tough win that felt more like a loss. But this win was convincing. Like, this was, in my opinion, one of the most dominant wins of FSU's last 2 years. And maybe able to argue it was his best win. I thought from things we discussed in the last episode, from play calling to wide receiver blocking to offensive line play to, you know, wide receiver going up and making catches on 50-50 ball. This wasn't the one. You was up 35-3 going into the fourth quarter and you were able to pull your starters.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is the win that we were asking for. We didn't do this against ULM. We hadn't done this against Sanford last year.
Right.
We've been trying to pull starters, I mean, in a game to see what the backups can do.
For 4 years.
Right. So the fact that we were able to finally do that, and this is the win that makes you feel like that. Not only here's the thing that makes me mad is not just the fact that you waited till that you did this. Think about how long
you had to wait.
You had to wait,
right,
for him to leave the stadium. Like I'm assuming he didn't sit in that section, and that's a bad assumption, but I'm assuming anyway. So that means you made your way down to the tunnel. You sat there. Waited for Willie to leave. This is after the band is played, the alma mater. This is after all the these look like the last few people who were leaving the stadium.
Right.
So you have waited 30 minutes at least, right?
At least
30 minutes after the game. This is after Willie's done his press conference. I mean, not his press conference, his post-game interview. He is now, the band is played, the band has left the stadium. He is now leaving the thing. You are still waiting here by the exit just so you can scream an obscenity to him. There's a hate in there that goes beyond football, in my opinion. And so when I look at it and I say, what would make you feel this way about a football coach? I may not like Willie, or I don't have to like Willie.
Right.
And I'm not saying that anybody listening to us has to like Willie. You don't have to at all.
You can dig
your heels in the ground and think he's the worst coach you ever had.
Right.
But what would elicit the emotion to make you be like, you know what? F you, Willie. I'm going to spend 45 minutes of my life after this game to stand here just so I can yell some obscenity to somebody who has nothing to do with me.
Right.
And you telling me, and I'm supposed to think it's football related, and I'm supposed to think that that race doesn't play some form of factor. It's hard for me as a black male, and it's hard for me as an African American, period, male or female, to not think, there may be some racial undertones in that. Because, again, I can't figure out what would make you this bad at this present juncture.
Right.
You know what I mean? Did he hate watch the whole game? You know what I mean? Like, you paid money to go into the stadium.
Right.
You paid money to go into the stadium. You sat there and watched that whole product. Did you sit there and watch it, like, fuming? Like, every touchdown, everybody else yelling, F-L-O-R-I-D. Hey, you yell, F-U-C-K-W-I. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand what's happening. What would be the mindset that would possess a man to pay his money, sit in those seats, watch what he watched, and then still come away with, you know, like, I don't get it, man. I'm trying to, again, I've thought about this all night. I thought about it since it happened, and I haven't posted anything on Twitter except for, you know, maybe a few retweets of some things some other people said. But I it's hard for me to find the positive spin, or to find even the rational spin on something that's irrational. You know what I mean? Why should I have to be the rational one when the behavior was irrational?
Right. So somebody put in my comments after I made that post, they said, it's a dumb moment from a fan. Happens everywhere and on each campus across the country. No need to make it any more than football. All right. Let's put a pin in that right there.
PK, show me.
I'm going to put a pin in this. Put a pin right there. Okay. Now this was a Caucasian guy that made that comment, right?
Okay.
Now, PK Sam put on a post earlier this week that our black athletic director wanted to hire a black head coach. Okay? And that's why he got the job, and it's time to move on from him now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I had a problem with that. Okay? Both of those comments I have a problem with, because Willie Taggart did not get hired at Florida State because he was black. Okay? Willie Taggart did not get hired at Oregon because he was black.
That's correct.
Okay? This idea, and this comes from both sides. It's not just a white or a black thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop pretending that we don't care about color. We care about color. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay because psychology tells us that we identify and gather around people that look like us. That's just, that's basic psychology. Okay?
Right.
And it's okay. It's okay. Right. So if you're uncomfortable, if you can't rationalize why you're uncomfortable with certain things, then you need to look deeper into yourself. So with PK Sound comment, it made me mad that he said that, because I'm like, you know, it's a lot of former players that don't like Willie Taggart because they're not saying this out loud. You know, I talked to a couple former players, and two of them is my friend. I mean, I'm friends with them, you know, and I got into a little bit of dispute with them because I'm like, man, you know, I get it. Y'all was better football players than Willie Taggart. Because football players feel like, oh, you should, if you haven't played the game, then how can you tell me, how can you, you know what I'm saying? This is my university, and I bled for this university, and I deserve a job before he deserve a job. You know what I'm saying? That's self-hatred, right, man. That's self-hatred. Mm-hmm. That's self-hatred. That's culture hatred. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Because
right,
just because Willie Taggart wasn't as talented as Peter Ward doesn't mean he can't be a better football coach than Peter Ward. You know what I'm saying? Now, right, Peter Ward is still a great football player. That doesn't lessen what Peter Ward is or makes up more for Willie Taggart. You know what right, I'm saying? A football coach is a football coach. Bill Belichick never played one down of football.
Right.
Never. He never played one down of football. So this idea that a black athletic director hired a black head coach because that's what he wanted, because he wanted to hire a black guy. Well, you know, man, maybe he identified more with Willie Taggart. Maybe that's on basic psychology. Maybe that's because he's black also. That might be true. Right. That might be true. But that actually happens a lot. That's why they used to call it back in the day is the good old boy club.
Right.
So my only complaint has always been with this whole idea of there need to be more minority head coaches. Well, I always say, before you have more minority head coaches, you need to have more black
minority athletic directors.
Exactly. That's the only way that's right, going to happen. Okay.
So that's a really good point. And so I used to work for a company, right? And they started this organization. It was called the AAF. Which it sounds funny because it's the same thing as the football league, but it's not. It was the African American Forum. This forum was started because one guy, he became 25, I think that now being maybe 27 years ago. 27 years ago, he was in a room and he was promoted to be the first executive in company, first African American executive in company history. And when he got up to give his speech, you know, as he, finally had made it to the pinnacle of his achievement, what he said was, I look around this room and I realize, man, I'm the only person in this room who looks like me. And while happy that he had made it to that point, was able to look around and say, man, why aren't there more of us? And then when you realize that hiring most African-Americans hire and other African-Americans, the same way most Caucasians hire other Caucasians, these are not my opinions, these are statistics and facts. Look them up. So what happened was, when he said that, he talked to the CEO at the time. The CEO said, you know what? Well, what are we going to do about that?
Right.
They formed the African American Forum for the sole purpose of getting other African Americans in positions of power in the company so that they could then hire other African Americans.
Right.
Now, this was a company who realized that, you know what? If we want to get African Americans in positions, then we have to get African Americans at higher positions so that they will then hire folks under them, and the cycle continues.
Right.
So that we can now end up with a diverse company, and not a company that the CEO is white, the president's white, the vice president's white, the assistant vice president's white. No. Well, now if we get more African Americans in this position, we now have a structure where our company is diverse. And so they have a forum every year every year where thousands from all over the world, African Americans, all at certain position levels, all at management levels or higher, where they all come together just so that they can see, no. Our network is bigger than your office. Your circle is bigger than your office. These are the people who are going to help you. And it's just a networking symposium. It's 3 days. The company pays for it. They do it in DC. And they bring in guest speakers. They bring in keynotes. And it just shows you that, you know what? This is a company that has decided that, you know what? African Americans have to be have to be put in positions so that other African Americans can see, can, you know what I mean, can be showcased. And when you see, and when the first time I went, I looked in that room and you feel empowered and you feel like, man, look at this. It's thousands of us in this company,
right,
all over the world, who I can now network with. And so you're getting business cards and you're getting information and right. You're talking to people and you realize, you know what, man, I can pretty much go wherever I want because now you're making friends, you're making relationships.
Right.
My mentor, even though I'm at a completely different company now, my mentor is still from that company.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's a bond and that's a network that I have of somebody who's doing way better than me. He's currently assistant. He's left the company and now as well, but we still have created a bond of a network to where I know if I ever need to for a job or I ever need a connection at some place, he's in a position high enough to where he can pick up the phone. And I'm like, hey man, I need a job. You know what I mean? They've laid off or whatever the case right. may be. I'm just tired of where I'm at. I can pick up the phone and call him. And that's the type of network. So when they talk about the black athletic director hired the black coach, why is that a bad thing?
Well, you know, because I'm going to tell you why it's a bad thing for certain people. Because what happens is people get uncomfortable. And it's not just white people. You know what I'm saying? Black people get mm-hmm. uncomfortable with it too. And that's the crazy right. part about it, right? Because you're like, well, man, if you're going to be a coach, see, the problem I used to always have, I used to hear this on a lot of podcasts, right? When Jimbo was the head coach, right? They would say, mm-hmm. you know, Jimbo needs to diversify his roster, you know, because, you know, he's having a hard time getting his coaches to connect. And, you know, he need to hire a few more, you know, black guys on the staff. You know, you would hear this on mm-hmm. podcasts, right? Like, you know, pretty big podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're comfortable, right? We're comfortable with saying, let's hire a black coach. To help recruit the black kids, right? We're comfortable with that. But the idea of hiring a black head coach to oversee the whole program, man, that makes us uncomfortable. And that's not just white people, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, because it's a lot of self-hate within our own culture. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and then you see it in business a lot. You know, I've worked for several bosses. I've had a lot of black bosses, had a lot of white bosses, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times you'll find out sometimes your white bosses will give you more of an opportunity than sometimes your black bosses will, right? So, you know, I currently
100%.
Right. Okay. So I work for a company now that I have a black boss that he likes to give a little bit more opportunity. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna say that he has no problem with saying mentoring the young black kid at the job. He has no problem with that, being a little bit more hands-on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Making sure our ducks are in a row. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I like that because I've worked for other bosses that once they get in the door, they kind of shut it behind them a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know, he leaves a little crack. You know what I'm saying? I let you get a preview of what this looked like. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's a lot of self-hatred. So when we talk about Willie Taggart failing or succeeding, the biggest problem to me isn't the actual white side of the fan base. And I've been stressing this a lot because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, people want to see wins. At the end of the day, they want to see wins. That's it. But I'm going to tell you something, man. A lot of those former players was turned off by the fact when they looked at those coaches last year, it was like, man, this dude 36? This dude 42?
Mm-hmm.
This dude 46? These guys making 200, 300,000 for my university?
Right.
$5 million from my university, and they barely even want to let me come here and get a slice of pizza.
No, it was a lot of hate. It was a lot of self-hate.
You see what I'm saying? So it turned a lot of them off. You know what I'm saying? And that wasn't necessarily Willie Taggart's fault. Like, how is he supposed to come in here and know every former player from the last three decades? That should be an institutional thing that should be happening before he even got here. You know what I'm saying?
I had a conversation with my pops, man. He was like, listen, when he looked at that sideline and saw all the black coaches, my dad's immediate reaction was, he better win. And understanding that this is a guy who's older than both me and you.
Right.
So he's been through, he's had to sit at the top of, had to sit at the balcony, you know, in movie theaters. And so he's been through segregation.
Right.
So when he looked at it and he said, he better win, when I asked him why, he said, because I can tell you, he's not going to get the leash that a white coach would get. Now, again, you that may be upsetting to people to hear, but understand these are the realities that us as African Americans deal with on a daily basis. These are some of the challenges that we deal with on a daily basis.
But let me ask you a question.
Stephen A. Smith, Stephen A. Smith is one of the guys I don't like at all.
Right.
But he said something. He was like, when I sit in this seat, I sit in this seat and I have a responsibility to not mess it up for the people who will come after me. For the African-American who will come after me. So if I sit in this seat and I mess it up, understand that there'll probably never be another African-American who will get a chance to sit in this seat. And not intentionally, but you'll look at it and be like, man, we just hired an African-American. He failed at it.
Right.
And so, but white coaches, we see it all the time. Man, they get bounced around and bounced around. What's the name? NFL all the time.
Cliff Kingsbury is one of them. I mean,
correct. But Cliff Kingsbury has never done anything. Never done anything at his previous job and was able to step up and get a head coaching job. Shoot, it's another dude.
Bill Callahan. For some reason, I don't know how Bill Callahan keeps getting jobs.
Every time a position comes open, Callahan's name is mentioned. And that's what I mean, right? But you look at Marvin Lewis, and he was getting those dudes to the playoffs every year. Look at him now. But Marvin Lewis, where Marvin Lewis at?
Yeah. Well,
and that's what I mean, right? So when we talk about the systemic issues, right, that's kind of what we're talking about. But you had a question. Go ahead.
But see, the thing about it is this here, though, man. That's another problem to me. Like, we say that they have responsibility. They got to do this. They got to do that. They got to do this. And I get that might be the truth. But the fact of the matter is, Willie Taggart's job is not to pull the black community up. You know what I'm saying? I get it. But my thing, a lot of this, even with LeBron James, I hear the stuff with LeBron James, I hear a lot of this like, oh, they need to do this and we need to be pulling the community up. That pressure doesn't exist in other cultures. You know what I'm saying? So, well, I'm just saying in general, but...
No, it doesn't exist, right. I agree, but they also haven't...
I get it.
Situations are different.
But we're in a different plight in the world now. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
And it's okay, man. It's okay that if Willie Taggart fail, it's okay. Because you know what? There is a coach that's going to arrive and that's going to get it done. Because if you keep giving at-bats to these coaches, then eventually you will find the next Tony Dungy. Right? Everybody thought Tony Dungy was, you know, Tony Dungy succeeded at Tampa and they fired Tony. Tony Dungy went on to win a Super Bowl at the Colts. But another thing with Tony Dungy, look at all the coaches that came off of that staff that became head coaches, man. Mike Tomlin is a good head coach at Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
so
the opportunities, right. And right. That's why you need people and opportunities to give other African Americans opportunities so that you can see and so that you can hit, which is why, again, I had no problem with his staff last year. But I understood, but just like my dad said, I understood that, you know what? You got to win. Because not necessarily because of the responsibility, but because your leash may not be nearly as long as some other coaches might have gotten.
Right.
And when we're looking at 18 months in, after wins, people are yelling at him. He kind of was right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
like the fact that.
I think the FSU fans, if Willie Taggart was a white coach, I think it would still elicit a certain amount of response with that record. Because what I think is a lot of the FSU fans cannot get around the fact that there is not enough talent in key positions to win games. And it hasn't been that for the last 2 years. You know, when you lose Landon Dickerson, Josh Ball on the offensive line, and guys get hurt like they did last year on the offensive line, and it's an object failure. You know, Walt Bell was a white head or was a white coach, offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Walt Bell was an object failure at Florida State. He wasn't good at installing the offense, okay? So that happened, you know, and I think that same anger would be real. Like I saw it with Jim McElwain at the end. You know, college football fans are unreasonably crazy. Like, you have a segment of them that are just crazy. But that passion is what you need, because that passion drives them to donate money. It drives them to drop bags. So you need that passion. So you'd rather see the passion than not see the passion. You know what I'm saying? And that's important, too. But I think what the Taggart thing is, what we don't like, I think, as African-Americans, is we don't like the undertones. Right? That's what we don't like. We don't like the undertones. Like, we get the anger. Right? We get the anger. Right. but we don't like the undertones.
We feel the same anger.
Right. Like, we have the same anger, right? Like, why? Like, me, yesterday,
I'm
like,
just as mad as the white fans when they lose these games.
Right.
I be mad. I get angry.
Right.
I got to lay off to my side, lay off to myself.
Right.
Because I don't want to yell. I don't want to yell at people. I be mad. Understand that.
Right. And I think, like, even yesterday, I'm watching the game, and I'm like, man, what is wrong with the special teams? Why are we digressing on the special teams yesterday? I'm looking like, why we can't get enough guys on the field? Why don't y'all know when to change the lineup? What is going on special teams? I'm saying this. I'm typing it on the podcast page. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I get it.
We see what you see.
Right. Yeah. I get that. You know what I'm saying? But guess what? Tiger's not in charge of special teams. Mark Schneider is. Mark Schneider mm-hmm. don't need to have a job next year, man. That's a wrap. Okay? I'm tired of that on the special teams. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and people might look at me like, well, they'll say, you don't think that's Tiger's fault? No, man. He has a special teams coach. Get the people on the field. Do I need to add? So, do Florida State need to add a secondary GA or analyst to special teams? Yes, man. Give me somebody that can count the players and put them on the field. Okay, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of the problems with Florida State, I feel like, are not coaching problems per se. I feel like it's an organizational thing behind the scenes. Maybe we need a couple more analysts to help in some of these key areas of the things that fall off the sides, like not enough players on the field. What's this guy doing on this play? You know, offensive coordinator, he shouldn't be trying to figure out what the quarterback, the wide receiver, and the running back are doing. He need to be trying to call the next play. He need guys behind him doing that. The organizational part of what's going on at Florida State is aggravating. But I don't know if that's all Willie Taggart, because we don't have enough.
It's never all one thing.
Well, we don't have enough white polo shirts.
It's rarely all one thing.
Right. But we don't have enough white polo shirts on the sideline. Like, Alabama has, man, that sideline is full of people.
Not on the sideline. They got a booth. They got a booth that's like four rows deep.
They sit on top of each other, man. So, I don't know.
Yeah, like, there's 12 coaches in the booth.
Exactly.
All looking down. It's hard to miss something when you got 12 coaches in the booth and another 20 on the sideline.
Exactly.
It's hard to miss anything when that's the case.
And
now, when you operating with limited budget and you got 9 of those people, when they got 20, you will never beat the team with 20 coaches when you got 9.
And it's why you have
I don't care what to say about that.
And it's why Derrick Brooks, you know, I heard him on a podcast say that, you know, they was talking about Willie Taggart. You know, Derrick Brooks is a bit Willie Taggart fan. And Derrick Brooks
was coaching yesterday.
Right.
Shout out to Derrick Brooks.
Yeah, so they said, asked Derrick Brooks
about. Derrick Brooks had a headset.
Right, so they asked Derrick Brooks about why is it so unorganized and this and that. And Derrick Brooks said, you know, our organization isn't big enough right now. So things fall by the wayside, mm-hmm. right? So right. if you notice, Derrick Brooks is almost at every single game helping out with those things. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to do his part. You know what I'm saying? And of more former players that get on Twitter and say they care so much and this ain't acceptable, maybe you should go on the sidelines and help count players. Or, hey, talk to that defensive back. That technique was messed up on that play because Harlan Barnett trying to check his sheet to make sure what's going on the next series.
Right. He's looking at the bigger pictures. You need somebody else to handle the in between the play stuff.
Right, right. And I think that's the problem, okay?
Yep.
That's the problem. And that's why I kept saying, people talking about Urban Meyer. I said, Urban Meyer would never come here. There isn't enough resources that he's going to be able to allocate to himself to do what he needs to do. Because he understands what it's going to take to win national championships. And you know what? If you got a small budget, you need to have small expectations. You got a big budget, have big expectations. That's fine. But right now, the budget isn't where it needs to be at. When you're taking soda machines out the Morris Center, that's a problem, man. It's a problem.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say.
So what's happening on Twitter right now is this very conversation that we're having. You know, I'm going to read, a thread that's happening that I'm looking at right now, right? They did this to Jimbo. Are you implying his racism at work yet? That's a false parallel. Let me just say that from the beginning. What was happening with Jimbo was rumors of Jimbo was leaving. So these fans felt betrayed. So that's not the same thing. Tashawn Reed said, not even a race in this instance. It's personal. Some people are insatiable even when the wins come. Clearly, it's not just team performance. Another guy said, that win yesterday did nothing to change my mind. Yet some will label me as hating Willie because of his skin color. Prime discussion. That's perfectly fine. Jesus Christ, let it go. No one is confused about whether or not Taggart's tenure has been successful. It obviously hasn't. It still takes a degree of personal dislike to yell fuck you at a man after a win. You're struggling to process multiple facts here. That's, I think, what really what that whole that whole dialogue is what we're talking about.
Right.
Two things can be true.
They all right? yeah.
Like
yeah.
multiple things can be true. Right. Willie has done a poor job. Willie also doesn't deserve blame or had no issues or you shouldn't have any issues with what Willie did yesterday.
Right.
Those both can be true.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
So neither one of those. So it's not, none of these things are like exclusive to one another. Right.
Right.
Where it's like, you know what, Willie, you failed. And I'm so mad at you right now. I'm gonna yell this out.
Right.
Again, we are not arguing whether or not Willie Taggart has or has not failed. Up to this point, his tenure has not been great from a wins and losses standpoint.
Right.
Again, if we talk about culture, I'm gonna argue the opposite. But if we're talking from a wins and losses standpoint, he has not been successful. But when we're talking about, okay, what would make you yell at a person after this game? Well, that's a completely separate topic.
Right.
Than whether or not he has or has not been successful. You cannot believe, again, the guy right before it said, I don't have nothing to do with race with Willie. I just don't like, you know, I'm not a supporter off of the past. That's cool. Hey, man, that's your prerogative. I get it. Nothing right now would make you believe that he's been successful. So if you tell me you're not a fan of him, I'm with you.
Right.
But you not being a fan of him and other dude yelling, you know, fuck you to him after a win, those two different degrees. You understand? And that's what I think the problem is. We've all decided that it's one thing or another when all things can be true. There is a level of race. There is a layer of race involved. There is a layer of, man, he's been a failure. There is a level of he hasn't had enough time to fix it. There is, like, all of these things are true.
Right.
Like every last one of them, right?
Right.
Like, he hasn't had enough time. He has been a failure up until this point. And he also is going to have some people who don't like him strictly because he's black.
Right.
Just because we live in America and those are, like, real issues. So, again, it's not a either or thing. It's an and thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a and this and that. All of the above. What is it on the test? E, all of the above. It's all of the above.
Right, right.
Yeah. Race plays a part in it. His inability, the mistakes he's made that you pointed out and that we pointed out on here that he's made. But we can't also ignore the fact that he has improved the culture. And he also is starting, and he's turned around, you know what I mean, what was a very fractured locker room. Like, all of it's true. All of it.
Yeah.
All sides. Yeah. Every area is true in this instance. So it's not a either or thing.
But the thing about it, though, man, and I think this goes to more of the white fans that are more rational, right? Like, all white fans, matter of fact, man, I'm gonna just say this straight up. I'm not some diehard liberal Democrat, right? I'm not.
Right.
Okay. I'm not some ultra conservative person either. I'm more of a what you would call moderate. I'm a moderate person. So
right.
What happens is it's a lot of screaming back and forth. And like a lot of black fans at Florida State want to call the white fans racist the minute they have any type of criticism towards Willie Taggart. That's not right either. And a lot of the white fans, sometimes what you see is they try to say, when they see somebody have done something racist, they don't want to be labeled as racist themselves, so they try to defend what that racist person did. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That racist act. So guess what, man? It's okay for things to just be wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's
you also
okay.
Get called apologists when you don't want to necessarily, you know, kill, when you don't want to, you know, kill Willie Taggart for every decision.
Right.
Man, you an apologist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And usually, it's usually directed as a black person.
Right.
You know, it's funny. The white folks never get called Willie apologists. Like, anytime a white person said, man, I'm still riding for Willie, it's, you know, I don't understand how you riding for. But for some reason, you're an apologist when you, you know, if I were to say I'm riding with Willie, like I said, man, it's a lot of.
But you know something though, man,
are either one way or another.
You know something though, when it comes to hiring minority coaches, hiring minorities, period, in the business, minorities moving up in business, you know, it's a good thing to have diversity anywhere, because diversity brings ideas. Ideas creates revenue. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I can't stress this enough. It's important to be diverse. Okay. And diversity doesn't mean this group doesn't deserve, or somebody's being handed something, or somebody's being given something. You know what I'm saying? So we have to, it's a societal thing, and the volume is so turned up, especially with what's going on in our politics and what's going on in our country, you know. But the truth of the matter is, this country hasn't changed as much as, you know, like your dad, my granddad, you know what I'm saying? What happened was the volume had been turned down so low for so long, for like 20, 30 years, maybe 20 years. Hmm. The volume was turned down a little bit. You know, now it's people have found a way to monetize it and make money off of it. So now the volume is turned all the way up and people are uncomfortable. But you know what, man? It's okay to be uncomfortable. You know, it's okay to be a little uncomfortable, and it's okay to look in the mirror, not just as white people, but even as black people, to look in the mirror and be like, man, you know what? I got some crazy ways that I think, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of hatred in me. And why do I have that much hatred in me in 2019?
Right.
You know, you shouldn't be screaming at a laptop on Twitter. Like, that just, you shouldn't be in a Facebook page so angry about somebody's point of view that you want to drive. You want to drive.
These guys are blatant.
Right. You know, right. But some of them are. But I'm just saying, you shouldn't be driving 30 miles to go square it with somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, what are we doing, bro? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? You that mad about a Twitter conversation, a Facebook conversation? You want to fight? Like, it's 2019, man. It's, man, like me and you, I mean, I work every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I take care of my kid. Like, the idea of me getting on a Twitter back and forth and like, man, I'm finna leave my kid home to go drive to go fight a stranger. Like, man.
Not gonna happen, man.
Where we at, man?
Listen, I'm gonna wrap with this, man. I'm seeing a lot of, and this is, I want y'all to understand, like, this is not a thing saying, like, all, please don't get it misconstrued when we're saying all white people feel this way or anything like that. That's definitely not what we, if that's what you're getting from this, understand that's not even close or remotely close to what we're saying. There are a few exceptions. There are exceptions to everything, to, you know, and what we're talking about is that small group of those exceptions. What I will say, though, is, you know, I've seen a lot of people come in, you know, to support Willie against what was said about him yesterday. A lot of people saying that's not a fan we need in our fan base. And, you know, that's what we need more of. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of folks have, you know, say Lady Noel, Noel_Lady, just said to find your way out of our fan base if you think this behavior is appropriate. You know, that's what's up. Nolan Robinson, why get mad at Willie after that game? I understand not being a believer, and I understand not thinking he would get it done. However, that was by far the best he's coached in the game since being at FSU. Just enjoy the win. You know, so again, there are plenty of rational fans out there, and we appreciate all you guys. What we're talking to is that 1%, man. But everybody got to look inside themselves and understand, you know what I mean? What would make me this angry?
Right.
If, man, listen, you feel like the university want better, the university deserves better.
Right.
Hey, I'm 100% with you, man. I'm 100% with you. I've just decided that this may be the guy to get us to better.
Right.
Not to mention with all the other issues, but I believe this is the guy who should get the main opportunity to get us to better. That's my opinion. We can have different opinions and not necessarily be angry about it. I disagree with a lot of people all the time. Me and one of my best friends disagree on just about everything, man. Just we have argued all from Jacksonville to Tampa, and couldn't agree on one point. That's my best friend. I've known him for 30 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? So just because you differ doesn't mean that there's a level of anger or hatred, you know, involved. But you got to figure out, you know what I mean? What about yesterday? Would it leave you to be angry? You could still say, all right, good win, go Noles. But that one wasn't, you know, but that one win didn't change my opinion of the overall situation. That's cool.
Right.
That's your prerogative. But anger is a whole nother emotion after that.
No, hatred. Hatred. That's hatred. Hatred. To sit there. That is. And you can get angry. Hatred. You can get angry. But yeah. to wait that long after a game, even because it was a blowout also. So you waited mm-hmm. through a blowout.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's, most of the fans that left the stadium, yeah, they were in garbage time. Yeah. We were in garbage time. Everybody went home.
So that's hatred.
That is. Yeah, that's you're right. That's something fueled by hatred.
Let's not defend hatred. Let's stop defending hatred. Okay? Let's stop that.
No, I'm with you.
All right. So, yeah, let's wrap on that note, though, man.
There it is, man. As always, man, we appreciate you guys listening, man. I'm sure this one will get a lot of feedback. Man, feel free. Feel free to let us know, man, what you agree, what you disagree with, what you didn't like, what you didn't think was fair, what you know, and we'll discuss it as a family. Understand, we don't hate anybody. We love all the listeners. We appreciate all the listeners' support. And like, review, subscribe, rate 5 stars. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Until next time, y'all be blessed.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook it with the Brooklyn Boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the f*** you spec? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Damn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open ahead with no pen? Just draw inspiration.